Yeah, happy birthday to those two guys. Hey, welcome back to the show, hour number two. We've been talking about fillets. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is considering instituting new rules. If you're going to be traveling from a camp, if you've been overnight, you caught fish, and then you're bringing them back because you've cleaned them, the restrictions and regulations for those fillets. For speckled trout, they're talking about you can have 8 individual fillets over 13 inches to account for the 2 spotted sea trout over the slot limit. You can have a minimum size of 8 inches. And then again, if you got one over 13 inches, that means you can only have 2 of those because you know, that's what they figure will be yield. That would be the yield from a 20-plus inch speckled trout. Now, the redfish, the minimum size would be 10 inches. If you got a redfish fillet shorter than 10, you would be in violation. Or if it goes over 18 inches, that means you had one of those bull redfish that are now have to be released. So they'll be measuring fillets, and I think it's a mess. If I was out there, I think I would just keep my fish in the separate ice chest from day one, put the other fish in the ice chest for day two, and clean them whenever I get back to the dock. I don't think it's going to save me that much time to clean them out of the camp on the water and then run in and then have to have a game warden pull out his ruler and measure fillets and count them and decide what kind of fish it came from. Ah, that would be a mess. And Chip Clement checking in, he says that'll be a money generator for the wildlife and fisheries the way they will set it. And then that interesting question about how would they measure frozen fillets? You know, they shrink up when you freeze them. Would you have to wait to defrost them and then measure them? Sounds like kind of a nightmare for me. And my buddy Dean, who I was hunting with him and my dog's sister, Latte, he says it takes practice to fillet a fish properly. He does it with a regular knife instead of the electric knife. For him, it works better. A lot of people like the regular knife. Unless I'm doing a big redfish, I like to use the electric knife, too, on trout, even the sheephead. Redfish, usually I do the half shell. Don't remove it from the skin and scales. All right, speaking of Dean and Latte, we had a couple of good hunts this week with the Weaver brothers, Chris and Bob, went up to Crane Creek. We bagged 30 quail. It was 4 of us hunting and 2 dogs up at Poplarville, Mississippi, and the weather was great. Birds flew like champs, and we had a great time. Then and later in the week, we went over to Shady Pines Hunting Club in Butte La Rose, woodcock hunting, put the dogs down. The count was about 21 woodcock we flushed. We shot, and the dogs retrieved 10 of them. And dogs, by that time, were recovering, wore out. But we're looking to go again. Woodcock hunting is a great sport. That's that crazy-looking little bird with the eyeballs in the back of his head. And they hide. They look almost impossible to see them. They're camouflaged in those leaves. And when they come out of there, they take off like a bat out of hell is what they say. Anyway, great sport. Picked up some nice ones. They're pretty good heating, too. And we had a funny thing happen. We had the dogs were pointing locked up, and Dean walked in to flush him. He spotted the bird. In order to get it to fly up, he took his hat off, and he threw the hat at the bird, but it was like a ringer on horseshoes. The hat went on the bird. The bird came up, and the hat came off, and the bird got shot and put in the bag. So that's a little added story and a little memory from a great hunt. Hope we can get at least another 1 or 2 woodcock hunts in before the end of the season. All right, also coming up on Bayou Wild TV, if you haven't seen it, it's a feature called Dutch's Corner. I'm going to talk to Mike Gallo more about it because he was a star in it. All right, let's see. We got some more texts coming in. Sounds like a joke. Some people don't get 8-inch fillet. Some butcher them. Sounds like a money grab opportunity. That's right. All right, that's from Brad. Listen to us down in Lafayette. All right, we'll come back after this. We headed over to the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. That's where Mike Gallo departs for his trips to the great outdoors. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou Report with Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of Sea Tow. Once you become a member, you get free towing. Fuel delivery if you need it. If you run short, they jump start you for electrical problems. Dock-to-dock towing. Wherever you are, if you need rescue, they will be there. It's really peace of mind. $249 gets you a full year, and it's renewable after that. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or click CETO.com. And an interesting story came out with CETO this week. There was a boat that caught a potentially record fish. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was a billfish of some type. I'm not sure. I think it might have been a blue marlin, but it was caught with an electric reel. But the boat had problems, and CETO had to come in and pull in the potential state record and rescue them. There's a lot of stories from CETO, and when you need them, I just hope you don't. But if you do, they'll be there. All right, Captain Mike Gallo joins us, and he is a star of this week's Bayou Wild TV that is airing, called Dutch's Corner. Good morning, Mike. What a great time that was filming that show to honor our buddy Dutch. Would have been, I think, this couple days ago would have been his 101st birthday. And certainly great to get with you guys and talk about it. Now, on the map, there's an official location for Dutch's Corner.
Yeah, thank you very much for your help in putting me together with Glenn Shore of Standard Mapping and getting that idea of Dutch's legacy to continue so Dutch lives on. And that's, we, like you said, we honored him, and that's what we could do with such an honorable fisherman of Louisiana.
Yeah, I know you miss him. You and he were more than just captain and customer. You guys were best friends.
Yeah, he's a very good guy. I think of him often when I'm in the marsh and we go to certain areas. You know, you hear people say the marsh all looks the same. Well, to me, I recognize specific areas, and there's a lot of areas in the marsh that Dutch and I have fished. So whenever I come to these areas, it certainly reminds me of Dutch.
Dutch Prager, and the feature kind of tells the life story of Dutch. You'll see him, hear from him, and hear all the wonderful things that that man did throughout his life. Go to BayouWildTV.com. You can check it out on YouTube if you can't find it, but we're on channels all across South Louisiana and soon to be in Mississippi. So anyway, Mike, boy, we got not a pretty picture weather-wise today to get out and fish. You going out or you postpone your trips?
Well, I'm going out as soon as I get off the phone. I'm going to head down this little trail and climb in a deer stand, and hopefully a deer will come out and bless me with the opportunity to go to Double D and make some sausage.
Well, this is a great morning to do it. It could, you know, it's not going to be quite so windy in the woods, but what are you looking to take? Is it whatever comes out, or is there specific measurements or points, or are you allowed to take antlerless deer? What are you going to be looking for?
I would actually prefer a doe, because a lot of these guys that manage this property are hung up on those horns. I've yet to find a good recipe for those horns, so I'm okay with the does.
How they been doing up there?
It's been sporadic because they haven't had as much cold. We'll see. It's about 40 degrees this morning up here, so I hope they'll be moving. I did see three yesterday afternoon, and it was to the point where I didn't get a clear vision of, I didn't want to shoot a young spike or something like that, so I just held off.
What are you shooting?
I'm shooting my trusty Ruger 7mm mag.
Yeah, you're the 7mm man. You like that big gun, huh?
No, my dad gave that to me back when I was in college, and it'll do anything I would like to hunt.
Well, hope you're successful. When you come back, what advice could you give people if they wait for this little blow to come through and then in between before the next one comes, what would be some advice to catch a few fish?
I would think that this cold is going to last for several days, and that's probably going to push fish into areas where you don't have quite as much current. Areas like Gohegan's Canal, Venetian Isles, Eden Isles, the Lakeshore Estate areas, and you'll have to fish slow and on the bottom. And once you crack the code, it's just repeat, repeat, repeat. A lot of times we say fish slow, and if that doesn't work, slow down. And if that doesn't work, slow down again. It's really slow. In the summer, we say a fish will move 20 feet to find your popping cork, and in the winter, he won't move 20 inches. So if you move it slow enough, you give him time to get to it, because his metabolism is really slow because the water temperature is so cold.
Got it. Well, Mike, we're not going to hold you up any longer. I know you're ready to hit the trail and get down into the stand. What, are you hunting out of a box stand or a ladder stand? What are you going to be hunting on?
I'm going to be in a box stand today overlooking a food plot.
Very comfortable. You can listen to the rest of the show, too, while you're there.
I will.
Good luck, Mike. Let me know if you're going to make a trip to Double D.
Thank you, Don. I sure will.
All right, there he goes. Captain Mike Gallo turned deer hunter this morning. Lots of people out there in the deer stands. Are you listening to us? We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Do you like to paddle for your fish? Well, we got a report coming from Butch Ridgdale, and we'll be talking to him. Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and No Wake Outfitters Paddler's Report, we call it. It's coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And when we hear that, we know it's time for a paddler's report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, presented by No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive. They have the latest outdoor gear, especially fishing tackle that is hot for the local area. Going to find paddle sports equipment, kayaks, have some demos on occasion, and you can ask about fly tying and fly fishing classes right there at the shop. They are a fly shop specialist. That's No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Butch Ridgell joins us now. And, Butch, what can you tell the paddlers out there who maybe, I don't know, it's not too early to pre-fish for the minimalist challenge, but you don't know what kind of bait you're going to get. That's the problem there.
Yeah, it is. It's 2 weeks away. I'm sure some folks have ventured down that way. I'm going to wait and go next weekend. It's said, the mystery baits, Coco Marina, first time for some people fishing the area, fishing that tournament there. So it's going to be a little drama, a little suspense, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a good time. There'll be fish caught.
What kind of baits have they given you in the past?
Oh, man, we've gotten everything from ice fishing jigs to topwater baits. I kid you not. You never know. I mean, normally it's some good stuff. You'll get a handful of plastics, hard bait, 3 to 5 hooks. You don't get a lot of terminal tackle as far as hooks. You got to be pretty careful with that.
I guess you call it thrifty. You got to be thrifty with your baits because you only got so many, and if you lose them, you're done. But they do give you a variety of different styles.
We've had popping corks going out before, which everybody likes that for that time of year. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how the guys, the tournament director, comes up, and he's kind of told me, he said it's going to be interesting. So we'll see what happens. I mean, one thing about it, everybody's going to be fishing with the same thing.
Butch, what advice, locations, can you give people for some spots if they want to fish this weekend in this wind? Where might be a good place to put in and stay out of that wind and maybe find some clean water?
Okay, clean water. How to report them to me Thursday night. Lake Prion, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles on the west side over there. Beautiful water. Sent me some photographs. Caught some nice trout, redfish, and even a flounder over there on some plastic. I've heard some fish were caught down LA1 between Fouchon and Grand Isle. Just got to get out of the wind and find some clean water. I stayed home last weekend and went bass fishing. Went to Lake Martin and went there Saturday afternoon after the duck hunters. And with the drawdown, it was quite interesting seeing a lot of things I didn't know were there. Caught a few fish, but that water really needs to come back up to get that place back in shape.
Yeah, with that water down like that, though, you do get to find some underwater structure, and make mental notes of it or put it, I guess a lot of people put it in their phones and drop waypoints and things to find it. How were the bass acting? Did you get any fish?
Yeah, I caught a couple. They were, well, I can't say they weren't aggressive because I had one fish that just absolutely went, do a little zoom Z crawl on top of some pads, and I mean, he just went, he hit it like a redfish, but everything else was just kind of picky. It's Lake Martin. Lake Martin's a very finicky, body of water. When they want to eat, they eat. Not, it's tough.
Yep. Well, we got plenty of spawning time coming up in the next several weeks, and bass fishing should get good, and maybe a lot of people might want to, put the kayak in on some good freshwater spots. Besides Lake Martin, where would be a good place to slip a kayak in to do some freshwater fishing?
Well, That's just it. In our area, we're limited, to be honest with you. And you've got Lake Posse Point. Again, very, you know, I'd say tide dependent, but it's, you know, the stages of the river. It gets really muddy down there, really dirty, but there's some good fish caught. The basin, again, with the, we get rain, the water comes up and down. It can be, you know, a place you just don't want to go. Lake Martin, Lake Posse Point, I mean, people go Falls River. There's been some tournaments over there. It's been really good, you know, some great fishing over there, even Old River. But again, this time of year, of course, you know, they say that, what's the old saying, that fish like, fishermen like, dislike dirty water more than fish do. That does tend to hold true when it comes to that this time of year.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some, a lot of spots, too, as you move further to the east where you get a good mix. Not only can you catch bass, but you're mixed in with speckled trout as you get in those brackish marsh areas. A lot of those around the Slidell area, even downriver, you know, down around Venice, if you go that far. You know, Eric's favorite spot, he's down there around Myrtle Grove and Port Sulphur. There's some,
oh, yeah,
some stuff down there you can catch.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of that, even Ruloc Canal, Bayou Manchac.
Yeah.
There's, you know, I basically grew up fishing there, and there's, you know, phenomenal fishing there in the winter.
Lake Verrett, another place, too, particularly if you like the Sockeye.
Yes.
Well, we're going to let you go. Butch, thanks for the report, and good luck. And I guess we'll get another report as we get another. We're about 2 weeks away from the Minimalist Challenge. And if people want to sign up, they just need to go to the Bayou Coast Fishing website. And I'm sure they got all the details there.
It's all there. They can go to the club web Facebook page, and it'll direct you right to it.
All right. Thanks, Butch. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one. All right.
Alrighty. There he goes, Butch Ridgedale, one of our paddling field reporters. All right, we come back. This time of the morning, we talk about people who get on the wrong side of the law. Got a guy decided he was going to go deer hunting tonight. Bad decision. We'll tell you that story coming next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And catching you up on our text message board, let's see what we got coming in. Here's one says, good morning. Taking my 8-year-old boy on his first deer hunting trip this weekend in Alabama. Wish us luck. Well, if I had his name, I would personalize it. But good luck to the 8-year-old on the first hunt in Alabama. I'd love to hear that. It may be the beginning of an entire lifetime of hunting. All right, here's one from our buddy, the Backstrap Stack. He says, is there a fine if you cut your filet into pieces, or does the law say it has to remain a whole filet? I don't think you can say, let's see, this piece goes with this one and measure the pieces. I think you'd get a fine. My advice, don't filet fish and carry them on the water. Keep them whole. Well, some people like to do it, and you're going to have some details to pay attention to. Here's Roy in Mid-City says, the filet thing sounds like a disaster. Wasted fish with people trashing mistakes instead of just frying chunks. Yeah, you make a mistake filleting a fish, you can't bring it back. If you risk it, you could get caught. Thing to do would be to, I guess, recycle it into the water if you don't eat it. All right. Here's David Hubble back. He looked it up. Thank you, David. He says, the Bayou Wild TV episode with the beaver tail is episode 151. Also, episodes 81 and 6 give a good overview of John Fulce's Boucheret. Yeah, we actually did this radio show out there 1 year. Episode 6 will show folks my reaction to the coon and rooster stew. Good work. Thanks for the research, David. Check it all out. BayouWildTV.com. Look for the YouTube page. All right, Monty is listening up in Caldwell Parish. It's Primitive Hunting Day. You know, one thing you got to look forward to getting old is seniors are allowed to use regular weapons doing primitive hunting. Did you know that? Well, it's a law that's pretty recent here in Louisiana. All right, I love this name, the Gray Light Bandits. I'm going to add that to my list of loyal listener names here. They're out at the camp by the Yancey WMA. They're going to try to get one with a stick and string. Translation meaning the bow and arrow. Good luck to all the hunters out there. All right, from North Louisiana, Roland Cortez and the Dave's Bayou Crew, it's still been a good season for them. And the 8-year-old who's on the first ever deer hunting trip in Alabama is named Riley. Good luck to you, Riley. Let me know. Text me next week if you bag one. And if you want to send me a picture, we can't do it on this text, but you can do it just do it to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and use the contact button, and you can do it there. You can attach your picture of you and your first deer, hopefully. All right, we come back after this quick pause. We got a Bad Boy of the Outdoor story for you. We do it every week. There's no limit to them, and they just keep on coming. And we'll be back to tell you about one right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves along the outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Agents Sergeant Raymond Davis, Corporal Jeremiah Fletcher, and Corporal Ryan Duran were on patrol on January 2nd when they observed a vehicle stopping several times on top of a levee around 11 p.m. The agents stopped the vehicle and observed a freshly killed deer in the bed of the truck. Dum-de-dum-dum. Well, after questioning, Ralston Nugent fessed up to killing the antlerless deer earlier that night with a rifle on the Diversion Canal Levee Road on a portion of the Dewey Wills Wildlife Management Area. It's a safe bet Nugent won't be shooting more deer anytime soon, at least not with that rifle, because the agents seized the one he used. Neither will Mr. Nugent dine on venison from the doe in question. Instead, it was also seized and will be enjoyed by the recipients from the charity it was donated to. So, facing criminal fines of up to $1,300, up to 120 days in jail, plus another $400 civil restitution for the replacement value, is 22-year-old Ralston Nugent of DeVille, Louisiana, today's Bad Boy of the Outdoors. Yep, moral of that story is deer hunting at night is great, but it's illegal, unfortunately. All right, 504-260-1870, that's our text board. I was asking, I didn't get too many people want to let me know what their favorite snack was when you're going out to sit in a deer stand, a duck blind, or you go fishing. What would it be if you had one particular item? I know one guy, and his thing is pistachios, and it makes a mess. You know, if you go on the stand after he hunts, say you're going to be cleaning up pistachio nuts. It leaves them all over the place. All right, we're going to talk to Captain Ryan Lambert coming up. He's down in Burris. I don't know if this is one of his negative tide days, if the boys are out there duck hunting already, or they got to wait till this afternoon and fish early and dealing with this wind. Wind's great. I think this is a great duck hunting morning. Of course, everybody knows the problems we've been having in Louisiana, Mississippi, even Arkansas with altered migration. We just don't get the birds that we used to. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And Senator John Kennedy, if you haven't seen it, fired off a letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on behalf of the waterfowl hunters in Louisiana asking that they look into flooding unharvested crops, namely corn. They grow the crops, they flood it with water. In some cases, they keep it from freezing, and it holds an awful lot of birds. There's no reason to leave. They got food, they got water, they ain't coming, and that's part of the problem. All right, we come back after this. We'll talk to the Plastic Man, also known as Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures, next. Here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Into a kayak. Yeah, he's doing the stroking thing, right?
Deciding nerve. I ain't getting in the kayak, brother.
I didn't think so. I didn't think so.
I'm dying.
Well, what are the tides letting you do this morning down there?
Well, happy belated birthday, first of all, my friend.
Thank you. It is today. You're on time.
Yep. Oh, it's today. Great. So, I thought it was yesterday I saw on Facebook. So, at any rate, we fished in the morning. Yesterday, I fished an hour and a half. I had 35 beautiful keepers. I was just turning them loose. I was done in like 5 minutes. But all on plastic.
But well, I mean, we know that.
They boil in the water. I mean, it's just beautiful. So the fishing is off the charts, and it's been like that for, you know, it's going to stay like that. The river's not coming up until, who knows, I've looked all the way in February. It's still 2-1. So we're having a great year on fishing, and in the evening we duck hunting, and we killed limits yesterday evening. But it's a weird thing, almost all teal yesterday. There's lots and lots of pintails and lots of teal. And everything else is kind of weird. I mean, that's how it was at the end of the year before last. We had canvasbacks and pintails and no teal. So it's weird, but we're gonna go out there and do our thing. But, you know, we got another blow coming this evening and tomorrow, and another one coming on Thursday,
you know, I think 80% chance of rain and 30 mile an hour out the north on Thursday. So when I get back from Mexico, it's going to be game on for the last 4 days.
Yeah, well, you know, this has got to go down as the year of the teal. I mean, even the blue wings, they're just hanging around down here. You know?
Well, they did that last year as well. But there's been a lot of teal, but there's tons of pintails as well. And then there are some cans in there. I haven't seen that many redheads this year. It's like normal. But you know, lots of cans still. You just got to get a blow to get them. There are some grays and widgeons mixed in there, but not a plethora by any chance, you know.
Did y'all get any of those really pretty pintails with long pins?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, long pins and rusty chest. There's tons of them. Yeah. I mean, not sure.
What do you think that rusty chest comes from, though?
That's just a mature bird. You know, everybody says, oh, it's the water. It's the water. It's the bee. No,
he's rusting.
Bird.
He's rusting.
Blooming. Yeah. It's the salt water. It's making him rust. No, it's just a fully mature bird that you know, the end of the season is when they're starting to get it because, you know, the breeding season's coming up when they leave, so they got to get purdied up.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful specimen. I tell you that, to see that.
Well, you got two of the best. I mean, you know, teal probably the best eating bird out there. They're a little bit, man, they are sweet. And then the beautiful pintail. So you got probably two of the best. And I don't know what happened to our gray ducks. You know, it used to be our bread and butter for the southeast. But
they eat grass. They eat grass. There's no grass. You know, and you know the funny thing? How when I look at how particular it is, like last year, the way that hurricane came in, it left the Delacroix area alone with the tidal surge, and they were covered in ducks because the salt water didn't kill their food. And they had the best season they could have in forever. And then you'll see the year before that, at the end of South Pass on the right side, they had grass. They killed the heck out of the gray ducks. I mean, they're going to go where the food is. And, you know, we just... Louisiana has lost our habitat. You know, there's a big deal going on with the corn and all that now. Well, it all goes, I would imagine it all works together, but they come down here, if there's nothing to eat, they're not going to stay. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. So. Well, I had a text come in, somebody talking about hunting in Desalmans, and I know you used to hunt there. I hunted there in the late 70s and the early 80s, and boy, what a paradise that was for birds. He says this is one of the worst seasons ever, is what the report said.
Well, because there was 5,000 birds in the whole upper estuary, Barataria estuary, and 4,000 of them were pooldu and black-bellied squealers. So we had 1,000 birds, counting dogrees and ringnecks and everything, in the whole Barataria estuary. There's no food. There is no grass in the whole estuary. I'm working on it as hard as I can. Right now I'm trying to put some salt monitors at the mouth of Lake Salvador, Lake Desalmans. I mean, Bayou Desalmans in Bayou Cuba. I want to get some real-time salt monitors so where we can monitor and protect the upper estuary because all they worry about is the lower estuary and shrimp and oysters. That's 5 to 15 parts per thousand, and that's good for oyster production. And then come April, they shut the diversion down when the brown shrimp start coming. It's all about the brown shrimp and the oysters, and we cannot manage our estuary for that because everybody else suffers. I don't know when there's been a bass tournament in this area. There's no more tackle shops in this area. No, you can't buy your shiner. You can't get anything here anymore because there's no fishermen because there's no fish.
Yeah, and what a great place that used to be. But, I mean, you know, you're not going to do any oystering around Bayou Cuba. I mean, that area.
Not yet.
It needs to be fresh. They need to get that back in there.
I mean, I'm working as hard, but everybody needs to get in on it. I mean, you know, everybody's in on that corn. You ought to be more in on saving your own estuary in your own place and then let Mother Nature take its place. We, you know, let the feds worry about the corn. But the locals, New Orleans and the Zalman, Vashtry, Bayou Gosh, everybody in St. John, St. Charles, and Jefferson Parish ought to be raising cane about the fact that it's saltwater intrusion.
Yeah, you make a great point. You know, we talk about the migrate, but if we did, you know, re-alter the migration to where the birds started returning again, if there's nothing here for them, they ain't staying. You're not going to have them anyway.
Yeah, you know, those gray ducks aren't going to stay up in that corn if they got grass down here. I promise you, they like the salt water, you know, that brackish water and grass, you know, the where they'll eat it up in that green slime. The green-winged teal and the gadwalls love that green slime this time of year that grows in the marsh. But, You know, the salt water kills all that. So, you know, you just, I got to have some help, guys. I'm working on it as hard as I can.
I know you have. You dedicated a large part of your life and your resources to doing that, and you're to be commended for that. Well, have you got any openings if somebody wants to come down in and take advantage of some of those afternoon duck hunts or some of that great fishing that's going on?
They can come fishing, and we can put you on a ton of fish, but the duck hunt is essentially done for us for booking. We're booked up for the rest of the season, and I'm going to bring Mr. Carl the last 2 days. And me and him going to sit in the blind all day. We're going to bring some sandwiches, and we're going to stay there until we get a limit, and then we're going to stay there and call ducks after that.
Sounds like a great plan to me. All right, Ryan, somebody wants to get you, tell them how to do it.
They can call me at 504-559-5111 or go to CajunFishingAdventures.com. Join the battle, boys. We got to save our estuary.
All right, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, buddy. You have a great birthday.
Thank you. There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we got a few more texts coming in. If you want to get one in before we wrap up, it's 504-260-1870. We're back to check out the text board and put a wrap on this one right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got a few texts in. This one says, I generally try to keep a bag of freshly ripened satsumas in my deer stand when they came in. That's old man Sam. Yeah, nice fresh satsuma. We've got a nice aroma. I might even help attract a deer, but that's a great little snack to have out there. They should be there. All right. Here's one says, we have tons of duck grass in our Scarsdale area and Delacroix, but no ducks. Explain. Well, it's an altered migration. You know, if you've got, and I've been down there and I've seen it, there wasn't any storms that came into that area, and there's a lot of grass in that brackish marsh, and it's kind of like the table was set for the ducks, but they don't show up. It's an effect called short-stopping. The flooded corn is part of it. Other than that, they blame the weather, but people who have hunted over the years know that there's a lot of times we've been out there in T-shirts and covered up in ducks. We just don't get the ducks down south that we used to. All right, here's one says, I'm confused. Captain Lambert wants salt water or no salt water? Well, he'd like salt water because he fishes speckled trout and redfish and the saltwater species down on the lower edges, but those areas we were talking about are far inland, you know, Lake Salvador, Lake Cataguachi, Bayou Cuba, the Zalmans, those areas there. Those at one time were almost exclusively fresh, and you would get a little mix of brackish late in the year in the wintertime. But those areas, because saltwater intrusion, they just don't produce the fish and the game that they used to. All right, and I'm getting some more happy birthdays in. Thank you to all of you who are sending the birthday wishes. Well, looking back at what we covered today, we talked about Chef John Foles' Boucherie. What a great event that's coming up in a couple of, 3 weeks. Saturday, February 7th, 8 a.m., White Oak Estate and Gardens. It's on George O'Neill Road in Baton Rouge, and you can get tickets on Eventbrite. And just Google it, Boucherie. You'll get the information there. And if you want to see some of the Boucherie before you go, David Hubble was kind enough to research our Bayou Wild YouTube channel and find some of the episodes. Episode 151, that's with the beaver tail. Episodes 8, 81, and 6 have an overview. And episode 6 is where I was dining on coon and rooster stew, one of the delicacies there. We also talked about the beginner rainbow trout courses that is being offered by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. If you can't get signed up, because I think they're pretty much filled up, but you might check on their website if you want to take the course. Now, other than that, they put the rainbow trout, they stock them, and these fish are bite almost immediately, and it's open to the public. These are all on public places, and the idea is to catch them before the waters warm up, because rainbow trout, that's why we don't have native rainbow trout, but as long as the waters are cold, they do well. And today, their two stockings took place, and they've got the classes, and the course is going on from 9 to 11 this morning. Zamari Park in Hammond, and I can tell you there's some catfish in there. I went there, and we filmed the show, Catching Stocked Catfish, Channel Cats in there. Nice show we'd had, and nice catfish in there. Also today, this one from 2 to 4 this afternoon, Bogachita State Park, which is up in Washington Parish, And they've got some nice ponds up in there, and they'll have rainbow trout in them. They do stock, also stock the catfish in those, in that particular water body. In fact, all of these. And then next week, you might want to plan to go out to the oil and gas park if you're around Jennings. They'll be open up 9 to 11 for the class. The class is 2 to 4 if you go to the Lafayette Southside Regional Park. And also next week from 9 to 11 at the Bayou Country Sports Complex in Houma. They kind of give you the routine on how to rig up, how to bait, and how to catch those rainbow trout. Pretty little fish. Not bad eating at all, but I find they are a little bony. That's one of the hang-ups. But other than that, it's a good sport fish and a pretty good table fish, too. All right, let's see if we got some more text that came in here. I know we had some more requests about freshwater fishing spots. And these spots that I'm mentioning are excellent because before the department chooses to stock a lake for the public to get out, they call it get out and fish, they make sure that it has all the parking facilities, restroom, it's handicap ready, it's pretty comfortable, the banks are clean, and everything's easily accessible. All right, the music's playing. It's time for us to go, and that means we'll be back again next week. Hope you'll tune us in. We do this for 2 hours each and every Saturday morning. We give you some information. Hopefully we entertain you and send you out into the great outdoors as a better outdoorsman, conservationist, fisherman, and hunter. We'll see you next week right back here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.